Our text for this Christmas Eve is from Luke chapter 2, these words. And they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not." It's Luke 2, 9 and 10. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's somewhat expected, I would think, that on Christmas Eve this year, especially this year, we would address the topic of fear. Fear. When the angel of the Lord appeared before the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, the shepherds were filled with fear. Years later, it would be the disciples of Jesus witnessing Jesus stilling a storm who would be filled with fear. Asking each other, those disciples, "Who is this then that even the sea and the wind obey?" Later, when Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, when Jesus was transformed and was seen to be talking with Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John were not just filled with fear, they were terrified. Terrified. So before the shepherds, an angel appears, and there is fear. The sea and wind are controlled by Jesus, and there is fear. Jesus is transfigured and is seen to be talking with Moses and Elijah, and there is terror. Terror. So why? Why the fear? Why the terror? Well, the unknown, right? The unknown, the unfamiliar, the unexperienced. The shepherds on that Christmas Eve had never seen an angel before. The disciples, they had never seen the wind and the waves controlled in such a way by anyone. Peter, James, and John, yes, they knew Jesus, but what were they to make of his transfiguration, of the appearance of Moses and Elijah? The unknown. The unknown can and often does create fear. And this year has had its share of the unknown, right? Not only have we had to deal with a pandemic, but we've had to deal with a pandemic, the works of which have remained relatively unknown. Yes, I know there's a vaccine now, but questions remain, don't they? Masks? Two masks? Three masks? Distance. 6 feet? 7 feet? 10 feet? Remaining in a room with others for 20 minutes? 45? An hour? Meeting with family and friends together inside, outside, in our garage. Is this vaccine going to work? Will the one kind of vaccine be better than the other kind? And how about the election? Questions are still being raised about that. And the unknown plays a huge role in all of these questions, right? The unknown. And with the true, the definitive, the right answer to so many questions remaining unknown, or at a minimum remaining unknown in our hearts and minds and souls, there is fear. There's fear, isn't there? Lots of it. And in reality, we do have reasons. We do have reasons to fear. Now, we certainly can take FDR's famous dictum from his inaugural address in 1933 as the world reeled from the Great Depression. We certainly can nod to what FDR declared there about fear. So FDR, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror. which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. FDR's point was simple. We cannot let fear paralyze us into inaction. When faced with challenges, we must do something to meet them. And that's good advice. That's good advice. But of course, the fear that has gripped the world recently, it's not nameless, and it's not unreasoned, nor unjustified. It is, in fact, believed by many to be solidly grounded in science, in history, experience, and even in common sense. And that is death. Premature death, sudden death, caused by that which we cannot see or smell or hear or touch. Whether it causes paralysis of action is besides the point. It's the sudden death that is the point. Now Jesus, when asked this question about sudden death and the fear of it, had something to say. And Jesus said this, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." That's Luke chapter 12. With the onset of COVID back in March, the world has lived in fear, fear of death. But Jesus, our Savior from death, says, like the angel to the shepherds, do not fear. Do not fear death. Fear something greater. Fear him who can cast into hell. You see, there is a greater fear than death, and that is a fear of what happens after death. Unless you just blow the whole question off, this whole question of death. That is what a song recently released by a relatively new artist does. That is Phoebe Bridgers. In the highly acclaimed I Know the End, the name of the song, I Know the End, she comforts herself with the idea of non-existence. Chilling, however, is the number of comments left on the video of the song. Hundreds, thousands of people who, after watching the video and heard someone they admired say she's good with dying, good because of a perceived non-existence which follows, they're comforted. They feel better. They thank her. Having heard such a song, they no longer lived in an existential dread of fear of death. And how horrible is that? How horrible that the world takes comfort in the musings of the latest pop singer from California. Better, much more wonderful, the message of the angel to the shepherds on that first Christmas, that simple, simple, simple message. Fear not, fear not. Why? Why should the shepherds fear? Because unto them, unto us, was born that day in the city of David a Savior from death, a Savior from hell. And that is Christ, Christ the Lord. In Jesus, God became man in order to bring man back to God by eliminating that which causes death, which warrants hell and eternity apart from God, and that's sin. Do not fear, the angel told the shepherds. Why? In Christ, in God taking on human flesh, what was unknown was becoming known. The one who had the power over death and hell, who could cause the glory of the Lord to encompass the shepherds and the wind and the waves to be still and to be transfigured, the one who is our very Creator, yes, in Christ the Lord, our Savior, born in Bethlehem, that which was unknown became known. And so in him and only in him can all fear come to an end. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Christ the Lord. Receive the forgiveness of sin and daily then live without fear. without the fear of death, without the fear of hell, without the fear of what the future holds for you in the here and now. Yes, this is nitty-gritty stuff. Yes, this is detail. Yes, this is not simply, don't be frightened. It's why we have every right not to fear that which truly, really should be feared. So the message of the angel is rightly called not just good news, but good news of great joy. That is, that through faith in Christ, his suffering, death, and resurrection for us, death is not that which needs to be feared, nor what comes after death, for that which causes death in our case, in those who believe in Jesus, sin has been forgiven, set aside, covered, overcome. Does that mean we can now live our lives in reckless abandon? Ignoring all advice and safety concerns that are part of almost every day, every aspect of our life, from our shower head, which is full of germs, a recent study showed, to the smoke alarms in our house, which we hope will work when they need to. Well, of course not. Of course not. There, as FDR so long ago urged, action is required. But action is required not because we have reasoned ourselves out of fear, or because some 20-something pop singer from California has declared we have nothing to fear, but simply because death is real and hell is real. But Christmas is real. Christmas is real. The birth of our Savior, real. His suffering, death, and resurrection for us, real. His Holy Spirit, real. The faith created within us, real. The eternal life with Him promised by Him, real. It's all real. And that's why we can rejoice. We can be joyous. Perhaps this Christmas, like no other in recent memory, this Christmas has given us pause to think about the declaration of that angel to the shepherds, that bold and simple statement, fear not. Our college Christmas program, which was pretty much the same every year, the main vocal instructor at the school would play the role of that angel and sing the same clear and beautiful two notes every year as he would proclaim, fear not. Those two notes, those two words, have been stuck in my head ever since. For those two words, fear not, are not just a Christmas declaration, something applicable to the shepherds and not to anyone else. But those two words apply to every one of us, every one of us, every single day of our lives, every single time we are confronted with the what? With the unknown. Every single time we fear and we are sore afraid, whenever this happens, let us use this message of the angel to us. Just like we would use a favorite Christmas gift that becomes part of our daily life, our daily work, our daily routine, let us, when faced with fear in Christ and by Christ, our Lord and Savior, fear not. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Now for our next hymn, we're going to use the printed sheet that you were handed when you came in with the other hymns on the other side. We're going to use that printed sheet and follow the instructions there.